Chapter 25. Ladies mate for losing her leisure when the others get it in the absence of the family from home. ... Is Miss Power a hard mistress? ... No. ... Rather fanciful than hard, I presume? ... Just so, sir. ... And she likes to appear to advantage, no doubt. ... I suppose so, said Millie, laughing. We all do. ... When does she appear to the best advantage? When writing, or driving, or reading her book. ... Not altogether then, if you mean the very best. ... Perhaps it is when she sits looking in the glass at herself, and you let down her hair. ... Not particularly, to my mind. ... When does she to your mind? When dressed for a dinner party or ball. ... She's middling then. But there is one time when she looks nicer and cleverer than at any. It is when she is in the gymnasium. Oh, gymnasium? Because when she is there she wears such a pretty boy's costume, and is so charming in her movements, that you think she is a lovely young youth, and not a girl at all. When does she go to this gymnasium? Not so much as she used to. Only on wet mornings now, when she can't get out for walks or drives. But she used to do it every day. I should like to see her there. Why, sir? I am a poor artist, and can't afford models. To see her attitudes would be of great assistance to me in the art I love so well. Millie shook her head. She's very strict about the door being locked. If I were to leave it open she would dismiss me, as I should deserve. But consider, dear Miss Birch, the advantage to a poor artist the sight of her would be. If you could hold the door ajar it would be worth £5 to me, and a good deal to you. ... said the incorruptible Millie, shaking her head. Besides, I don't always go there with her. Oh no, I couldn't. Millie remained so firm at this point, that Dare said no more. When he had left her, he returned to the castle grounds, and though there was not much light he had no difficulty in discovering the gymnasium, the outside of which he had observed before, without thinking to inquire its purpose. Like the erections in other parts of the shrubberies it was constructed of wood, the interstices between the framing being filled up with short billets of fir nailed diagonally. Dare, even when without a settled plan in his head, could arrange for probabilities, and wrenching out one of the billets he looked inside. It seemed to be a simple oblong apartment, fitted up with ropes, with a little dressing closet at one end, and lighted by a skylight or lantern in the roof. Dare replaced the wood, and went on his way. Havil was smoking on his doorstep when Dare passed up the street. He held up his hand. Since you have been gone, said the architect, I've hit upon something that may help you in exhibiting your lady to your gentleman. In the summer I had orders to design a gymnasium for her, which I did, and they say she is very clever on the ropes and bars. Now I've discovered it. I shall contrive for him to see her there on the first wet morning, which is when she practices. What made her think of it? As you may have heard, she holds advanced views on social and other matters, and in those on the higher education of women she is very strong, talking a good deal about the physical training of the Greeks, whom she adores, or did. Every philosopher and man of science who ventilates his theories in the monthly reviews has a devout listener in her, and the subject of the physical development of her sex has had its turn with other things in her mind. So as he had the place built on her very first arrival, according to the latest lights on athletics, and in imitation of those at the new colleges for women, ... How deuced clever of the girl. She means to live to be 100. ... Via. The wet day arrived with all the promptness that might have been expected of it in this land of rains and mists. The alder bushes behind the gymnasium dripped monotonously leaf upon leaf, added to this being the purl of the shallow stream a little way off, producing a sense of satiety in watery sounds. Though there was drizzle in the open meads, the rain here in the thicket was comparatively slight, and two men with fishing tackle who stood beneath one of the larger bushes, found its boughs a sufficient shelter. We may as well walk home again as study nature here, Willie, said the taller and elder of the twain. I feared it would continue when we started. The magnificent sport you speak of must rest for today. The other looked at his watch, but made no particular reply. Come, let us move on. I don't like intruding into other people's grounds like this, Dostansky continued. We are not intruding. Anybody walks outside this fence. He indicated an iron railing newly tarred, dividing the wilder underwood amid which they stood from the inner and well-kept parts of the shrubbery, and against which the back of the gymnasium was built. Light footsteps upon a gravel walk could be heard on the other side of the fence, and a trio of cloaked and umbrella-screened figures were for a moment discernible. They vanished behind the gymnasium, and again nothing resounded but the river murmurs and the clock-like drippings of the leafage. Hush! Said Dare. No pranks, my boy, said Dostansky suspiciously. You should be above them. And you should trust to my good sense, Captain, Dare remonstrated. I have not indulged in a prank since the sixth year of my pilgrimage. I have found them too damaging to my interests. Well, it is not too dry here, and damp injures your health, you say. Have a pull for safety's sake. He presented a flask to Dostansky. The artillery officer looked down at his nether garments. I don't break my rule without good reason, he observed. I am afraid that reason exists at present. I am afraid it does. What have you got? Only a little wine. What wine? Do try it. I call it the blushful hypocrine, that the poet describes as a steeing of flora and the country green, dance, and provincial song, and sunburnt mirth. Dostansky took the flask and drank a little. It warms, does it not? Said Dare. Too much, said Dostansky with misgiving. I have been taken unawares. Why, it is three parts brandy, to my taste, you scamp. Dare put away the wine. Now you are to see something, he said. Something what is it? Captain Dostansky regarded him with a puzzled look. It is quite a curiosity, and really worth seeing. Now just look in here. The speaker advanced to the back of the building, and withdrew the wood billet from the wall. Will, I believe you are up to some trick, said Dostansky, not, however, suspecting the actual truth in these unsuggestive circumstances, and with a comfortable resignation produced by the potent liquor, which would have been comical to an outsider, but which, to one who had known the history and relationship of the two speakers, would have worn a sadder significance. I am too big a fool about you to keep you down as I ought. That's the fault of me, worse luck. He pressed the youth's hand with a smile, went forward, and looked through the hole into the interior of the gymnasium. Dare withdrew to some little distance, and watched Captain Dostansky's face, which presently began to assume an expression of interest. What was the captain seeing? A sort of optical poem. Paula, in a pink flannel costume, was bending, wheeling and undulating in the air like a goldfish in its globe, sometimes ascending by her arms nearly to the lantern, then lowering herself till she swung level with the floor. Her aunt Mrs. Goodman and Charlotte de Stancy were sitting on camp stools at one end, watching her gyrations, Paula occasionally addressing them with such an expression as "Now, aunt, look at me and you, Charlotte is not that shocking to your weak nerves," apostrophe when some adroit feat would be repeated, which, however, seemed to give much more pleasure to Paula herself in performing it than to Mrs. Goodman in looking on, the latter sometimes saying, "Oh, it is terrific, do not run such a risk again." Apostrophe, apostrophe, it would have demanded the poetic passion of some joyous Elizabethan lyrist like Lodge, Nash, or Constable, to fitly phrase Paula's presentation of herself at this moment of absolute abandonment to every muscular whim that could take possession of such a supple form. The white manila ropes clung about the performer like snakes as she took her exercise, and the color in her face deepened as she went on. Captain de Stancy felt that, much as he had seen an early life of beauty in woman, he had never seen beauty of such a real and living sort as this. A recollection of his vow, together with a sense that to gaze on the festival of this bona dee was, though so innocent and pretty a sight, hardly fair or gentlemanly, would have compelled him to withdraw his eyes, had not the sportive fascination of her appearance glued them there in spite of all. And as if to complete the picture of grace personified, and add the one thing wanting to the charm which bound him, the clouds, till that time thick in the sky, broke away from the upper heaven, and allowed the noonday sun to pour down through the lantern upon her, irradiating her with a warm light that was incarnated by her pink doublet and hose, and reflected in upon her face. She only required a cloud to rest on instead of the green silk net which actually supported her reclining figure for the moment, to be quite Olympian, save indeed that in place of haughty effrontery there sat on her countenance only the healthful sprightliness of an English girl. Dare had withdrawn to a point at which another path crossed the path occupied by the Stancy. Looking in a side direction, he saw Havel idling slowly up to him over the silent grass. Havel's knowledge of the appointment had brought him out to see what would come of it. When he neared there, but was still partially hidden by the boughs from the third of the party, the former simply pointed to the Stancy upon which Havel stood and peeped at him. "Is she within there?" apostrophe he inquired. Dare nodded, and whispered, "You need not have asked, if you had examined his face. Apostrophe, apostrophe, that's true. Apostrophe, apostrophe, a fermentation is beginning in him," apostrophe said Dare, half pitifully. "A purely chemical process, and when it is complete he will probably be clear, and fiery, and sparkling, and quite another man than the good, weak, easy fellow that he was." Apostrophe, apostrophe, to precisely describe Captain de Stancy's admiration was impossible. A sun seemed to rise in his face. By watching him, they could almost see the aspect of her within the wall, so accurately were her changing phases reflected in him. He seemed to forget that he was not alone. "And is this," apostrophe he murmured, in the manner of one only half apprehending himself, "and is this the end of my vow?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, Paula was saying at this moment, "Ariel sleeps in this posture, does he not, auntie?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, suiting the action to the word, she flung out her arms behind her head as she lay in the green silk hammock, idly closed her pink eyelids, and swung herself to and fro. Book the third. De Stancy. Captain de Stancy, was a changed man. A hitherto well-repressed energy was giving him motion towards long-shunned consequences. His features were, indeed, the same as before, though, had a physiognomist chosen to study them with the closeness of an astronomer scanning the universe, he would doubtless have discerned abundant novelty. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.